Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on in a message or a foundation I've been laying about the truth that is being restored to the church. And Ephesians 2, 19 through 20 says, in part, "Ye are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in which this entire edifice groweth unto a holy temple unto the Lord." And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I made reference to the fact that there are some that believe that apostles and prophets have been done away with, that the miraculous is not for today. And yet this very passage of Scripture says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And perhaps to clarify, I'd like to make a distinction between the actual words and doctrine that was established by the foundation apostles. It is absolutely true that there is nothing that's going to be added to the literal printed Word of God that we hold in our hands. Those revelations, those truths were given to those who were moved by the Holy Spirit to write down the government, if you will, the operation of the New Testament church. And we're speaking of Paul. He was chief and essential in sharing doctrine and revelation. There was Peter, there was James, and John. And yet there were other apostles and disciples. They didn't write anything down. So this ministry of the apostolic, which many refer to missionaries that are going into areas that the gospel has not been preached, what are they doing? They're establishing churches. They're laying foundational doctrine, laying literally the foundation of a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to be a Christian. They are apostles, beloved. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit is incomplete unless you recognize the role of the apostle, the role of the prophet. People don't like prophets. Why? Because they only exist to bring correction. Unfortunately, if we were all doing what the Lord would have us do, if we were following the ways of the Lord, if we were walking in complete righteousness, we wouldn't need the correction that is given by the function and ministry of the prophet. Now, the gift of prophecy is something we all can take part of. We can all be used, and I'll share scripture later to that effect, but the actual role of the prophet is to bring divine order to the church. The gift of prophecy is also for exhortation, but for encouragement and comfort. It's not to rebuke, although the office of the prophet can bring and should bring correction. We see that all the way through the Word of God, that when God's people erred, we see the Word of the Lord being brought through Samuel or through Elisha. We see that was their function. And so in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 7, the Word says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." We're here not just talking about leadership, we're talking about every believer. And in that portion of 1 Corinthians, there's the 12th, the 13th, and 14th chapter, they're really linked together. The 13th chapter is what is known as the love chapter, if you will, but the 12th and the 14th discuss the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to the church. And the most important thing to understand is love is the chief thing. That's the most important commandment. Jesus said in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37, love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then remember, in the final hours that Jesus was spending with his disciples, recorded in the Gospel of John, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I love you. And there's in that passage in John, there's the Hebrew connotation of a freshness of revelation. In the 15th chapter of John, verse 13, it speaks about that greater love. He said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this is the proper way to move in the power of God and in the gifts of the Spirit. As Galatians 5 and 6 says, through faith which works by love. So what am I'm doing? I'm sharing the importance of love, of the power of God, the preeminence of the Word, the empowering and fullness of the Holy Spirit that was given to the church at the day of Pentecost and has remained throughout all the ages to empower those to minister the good news of the gospel. And we see that as far as God's heart is concerned, it doesn't matter. As he said in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you have all the faith to move mountains, if you deliver your body to be burned, none of these things matter, the power, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, unless you have the right attitude and motivation, which is the love of God. And so hatred or a lack of love is inconsistent with God's very love and his character. 1 John 4:20 says, if any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Those are strong words, beloved. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And you know, it is only the Christian message, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached, that which was declared by the early church, that presents this picture of a God who so loves man so intimately, he was willing to sacrifice all that he was. He sent his son Jesus, in the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him. He sent Jesus to restore us to fellowship with God. And we are to love our enemies. We are to love our brothers. If we don't have love, we're not of God. And how many religions of the world preach this kind of love? There are those religions that are being promulgated today that say if someone doesn't agree with you, kill them, cut off their head. Brother, that is not the love of God. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding with him. God's long-suffering with this generation has been amazing. We have to understand in this world in which we're living, and I pray that you'll really hear with the ears of the Holy Spirit, that he would open your understanding, that God is a God of love. We need to express his love toward everyone, to do good to all men, as the scriptures say, especially those who are the household of faith. But we're to manifest God's love. We're to pray for those who despitefully use us. We're to love our enemy. And yet, while we extend God's love to every person, we have to understand that God is a holy God, and God hates sin and he hates iniquity. And so much of what is happening, we see that certainly in the world system, but the sad thing is we see it happen throughout the denominations to the nominal church world, that there is a redefining of what is sin for political correctness, for the sake of tolerance. We're embracing people just the way they are, which is, of course, we should do in Christian love, but they are embracing the sin and saying, oh, we're living in a new age. We don't have to demand that there be holiness as is defined by the Bible. And beloved, that is an apostasy. It is the work of the devil to destroy. He's doing that. He has torn denominations apart, those who stand for the Word of God, the inerrancy and authority of God's Word, and those that say, well, we're living in different times. We need to be a little more liberal, a little more progressive in our understanding that we're living in a different society today. In fact, I remember actually reading a book which said that it was the kind of homosexuality that God hated as defined under the Old Covenant was related to pagan worship. That's why God was so abhorrent of it. Well, beloved, I think all you have to do is read the entire Bible in its entirety, Old and New Testament, to see, no, God hasn't changed with the generations. He still feels the same way he does about sin. Listen to what Psalm 5:5 says. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. And I have a Bible. It's a large, it's actually got 26 translations of the Bible, and one of those translations expresses Psalm 5:5 this way, thou hatest all who practice wrong. You abhor all evildoers. Beloved, those are very strong words. Here's Psalm 45:7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness or lawlessness, as other translations would put it. Isaiah 61:8, another strong word. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. Another translation says, I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery, iniquity, crime, and unjust plundering. Well, we see just those few scriptures I've shared how God feels about sin. And so we have to take a look at our own lives, at the church today, at the world in which we are living, and evaluate all of that by the standard of God's holy word. And we're going to continue on with this understanding on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to join me at that time. But until then, if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. I love you. I pray for you and look forward to receiving your letter. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.